Free Energy Now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
And you're saying maybe even more.
It puts out more.
Puts out more, then that huge engine would be a lot easier to build, fewer moving parts. It displaces the same cubic inches in terms of the amount of cylinder space, and yet it's just this little tiny thing. And you said earlier when we were talking today that your engine is basically integrates the same technology but just packages it differently.
That is correct. When we were at the LA International Show, when people see the engine for the first time in person, they are just amazed because it is the same engine that they are already familiar with. The internal components are the same as the 100-year-old standard international internal combustion engine. However, it's just basically configured in a different way. And so a lot of people are very quick to understand the working principles. They're very quick to understand that this is really not a new technology. It's just configured in a different way. And so they're sold on it. Thousands and thousands of people and companies visited us when we were in L.A. for 11 days. So at the same time, by the time we won the NASA technical brief in, I believe, 2005, and got the award in 2006, we figured that was enough exposure to get us going. But like I said, the deals that we were trying to do at that time had to do with licensing, and it didn't happen the way we planned it. People, I guess, and companies didn't believe that I wanted to share this technology with the world. But like I said, when the crisis with the oil crisis came about 4 or 5 months ago, that had changed. And as a result, we decided to go ahead and manufacture. And I myself was surprised to see how much feasible it could be because of the fewer moving parts that we have to manufacture. Therefore, with the available capital money, decide to go ahead and produce the engine. At the same time, I really, really want to do something to help the economy. If I wanted to cash in this engine, I would have been a billionaire a long time ago. And I had gone through hell trying to prevent that, because I want the engine to be used in market. This engine is needed in the market. But not only that, through the last 2-3 years of development, we were lucky enough to come up with even cleaner running mighty engines. And they're even more compact and lighter and more advanced than the original mighty engine.
In one of the videos I was watching this evening, it shows engine that would basically replace a typical automobile engine, and it's about the size of a alternator.
Well, to give you an example, let's say an SUV. Let's say the SUV runs on diesel. Let's say a V8 engine that weighs 800 pounds will be replaced by a 37-pound, 8 by 8 inches mighty engine. Let's just say the bigger engine, 8 by 8. And that's 37 pounds. Now, when you do that, you will have better fuel economy than a Toyota Prius. That's a 5,000 to 6,000-pound vehicle. You eliminate about 1,000 to 1,500 pounds out of it right from the get-go.
Yeah. One of the questions I have is, in terms of the efficiency of burning fuel, you seem to be burning fuel. There's less fuel that's going wasted through your engine. Why is that?
Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. First and foremost is the drastic weight reduction from the vehicle by replacing 800 pounds of V8 engine with 37 pounds. Well, let's base this on a 5-inch engine. So that's with 25 pounds of 5-inch diameter mighty engine, an amazing 12 degrees of prolonged duration of EDC for an incredibly complete and efficient combustion burn, so therefore more energy is extracted from the fuel and put to use instead of waste. Less friction. Example, mighty engine has only 11 moving parts versus the standard engine with hundreds of moving parts. Friction accounts for 25 to 30% engine losses. Less pumping loss, mighty engine at 8 pistons in one donut-shaped cylinder versus standard engine at 32 pistons in 32 separate cylinders for comparable four separate V8 engines. Since mighty engine gets 150 miles per gallon in the 5-inch design, 3 or 4 gallons in your tank is enough to get 400 to 600 miles of driving compared to a standard 15 to 20 gallon tank. Again, less vehicle weight. The other one is compression ignition, such as a diesel engine run almost twice as efficiently as the spark ignition. A gasoline engine, the mighty engine runs on diesel. Other proprietary techniques, technologies that we can't discuss at this time. So we have a lot of reasons why that is, but when you look at the size and you look at you're throwing away almost 3,000 pounds of weight and replacing that with 150 pounds, you already know that you're saving fuel in a very big way. Then the friction losses, the simplicity, it all adds up. But the biggest factor has to do also with the new fuel system that brings about not just fuel economy, but also the cleanliness that we can do with running on diesel. Eventually, we would like to run biodiesel, so it'd be even cleaner. But at the same time, with diesel fuel, we're using the fuel as the lubricant as well, too. So this engine will not require any oil change at all, ever. And the more biofuel you use, the better, because biofuel has better lubricating properties. So basically, it can be the answer to the energy crisis at the moment by using current diesel fuel, eventually getting into biofuel little by little, B20, B50, and ultimately 100% biofuel, soybean or coconut or palm oil or peanut or vegetable oil. That's the beauty about the diesel engines right now. It can run in multiple bar stocks of biofuel.
We've got to go to break here, but when we come back from break, let's talk a little bit more about how that engine works and some of the multiple fuels that you can use.
Okay.
Will you be ready when gas prices go back up? Convert your vehicle to a hydrogen boost hybrid. Get 15 to 25% improved gas mileage guaranteed or your money back. And cleaner emissions. Hydrogen Boost has 8 years of experience in hydrogen injection and mileage enhancement and a money back satisfaction guarantee. Visit www.hydrogen-boost.com or call 518-480-4026. Hydrogen Boost, 518-480-4026 or visit hydrogen-boost.com.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
Attention restaurant owners, you've already seen the impact of these economic times. Your seats are empty. Your staff is sitting around with nothing to do. Your food is going to waste. What can you do? Use barter credits instead of cash with Premier Barter. We can show you how to use barter as a tool to increase business and save valuable cash. Fill the seats in your restaurant with new customers. Use your barter dollars for day-to-day expenses, more advertising for cash customers, and treat yourself and your staff to bonuses and gifts, all without spending cash. With offices in Arizona, California, and Colorado, Premier Barter is the ultimate cash management tool. Think you know barter? Think again. Premier Barter, 602-470-8020, or on the web at www.premierbarter.com. Fill the seats in your restaurant with new customers without spending cash. That's 602-470-8020 or www.premierbarter.com.
Free energy now!
Sterling Allen coming back at you with the Free Energy Now show. We are speaking tonight with Rafael Morgado. He is the inventor of the massive yet tiny engine, also called the Mighty Engine. It's an internal combustion engine that features multiple firings in one cycle to give 40 times higher power to weight ratio, lower part count, lower maintenance, high mechanical efficiency, low pollution, and they are nearing production. We're going to be hearing it for the first time tonight. Rafael, before we went to break, you were talking about some of the different kinds of fuels you can put in here. The same engine could burn diesel. What about gasoline? What about hydrogen?
The Mighty Engine is basically an internal combustion engine, equivalent to a four-stroke, or we also have two-stroke designs eventually. However, it can run on any type of fuel, whether it's natural gas, hydrogen, gasoline. I personally pick diesel or compression ignition engine because it's the most fuel efficient at this point. And with the introduction of biofuel such as soybean based, palm oil, coconut, peanut, which was basically originally Rudolph Diesel's preference, is peanut oil. So basically, and vegetable oil, it can run on vegetable oil. So to me, it makes sense to design the Mighty Engine around diesel, but not only that. Originally, I designed the first 14-inch prototype for the truckers, because basically at the time that I was working on it, I had heard some news that they were suffering miserably because of the prices, and that they were living on their trucks for some reason. I saw a show in 2020 at one time, and that kind of like got me, and I said, okay, I'm going to redesign the engine to be 14 inches to replace the 3,000-pound engine that they have. So, but originally, the Mighty Engine was based on a racing engine, an Indy 500 racing engine, 2.65 liters. So basically, that's the reason why I designed it for the truckers, and but like I said, it can run on gasoline. We can design gasoline engines. However, like I said, if you're after efficiency and torque, nothing beats the compression ignition engine, which is diesel-based engine, and like I said now, but it can run on hydrogen. It can run on natural gas. However, I'm looking at the distribution outlets as well, too, which is I don't want to mess around with infrastructure. So with diesel, the infrastructure is already there. With the rest of them, you still have to come up with the infrastructure. So I want to make it as easy as possible to introduce into the market.
Right. Now, we haven't talked yet about what this engine looks like on the inside. And for those who maybe have just joined us, I want to mention, just by way of illustration, that an SUV-sized engine could be replaced using this technology with an engine that would be about the size of your alternator. Let's talk about what's going on the inside of this thing. How is the compression and the combustion taking place?
Well, it's hard to explain without looking at the picture. If you visit our website, angellabsllc.com, there will be some, and the other website under Angel Labs Engines, I believe that there are some 3D pictures of the operating principles of the internals of the engine, which actually shows you how it operates on the internal. On our own website, we show how it operates with the actual parts, from intake, compression, ignition, power stroke. It's all there. And that's something that's very hard to explain without looking at the picture of the Mighty Engine.
Yeah. I watched some of that this evening in preparation for this interview. If I could maybe give a whack at giving a verbal explanation, again, encouraging people to look at the actual diagrams and animations that are available on your site and other sites. There's some things up on YouTube about it. But basically, rather than having a piston going back and forth, which is what you're used to seeing, this thing is a radial design that goes around in a circle, and it looks like a bunch of little spoons that are fitted around the edge of this perimeter, and they might be, say, 4 inches apart, for example, and then when they go into compression mode, they come right next to each other, and then there's a firing, and they go back apart to separate, and somehow you have the distance between the different, spoon knobs going around the perimeter is coming together and going apart with the intake, the compression, the firing, and exhaust cycle. And that happens a number of times as it goes around the circle. So you don't have this reciprocal movement of in and out, in and out. You just have these things changing the distance between each other as they go around the perimeter of this wheel.
That is correct. The easiest way to describe it would be two discs with four pistons each, and those two discs are clocking as they move on the same direction inside the engine. One locks and stops, the other one goes on a power intake. All the movements, intake, compression, power stroke, and exhaust, happens at one movement of each disc. So hence you get on one complete revolution, you have 16 firings. Since we're comparing it to a four-stroke engine, that's equivalent to 32 firings.
Okay. And all of that is happening also at a comparatively lower temperature, so you can both air and oil cool this thing. You don't have to have the typical radiator system?
Well, I can't discuss that at length because that's part of the propriety at this point. We've been asked a question about what do you do with overheating since you're firing at the same combustion chamber. And it was never a problem. And as a matter of fact, it is, we like the design that way, and we capitalize on that design. That's to the extent of how I can explain it. But we don't use the radiator. We can use the cooler for oil because it's a dry sump unit, which means there's no oil pan. The oil comes in under pressure and comes back out. And so basically, you can control the temperature of the oil, but it's neither water-cooled or air-cooled. So basically, on top of the engine that you're replacing, you will have no need for a radiator, water cooling, air cooling. Very simple, actually. Like I said, it's just, there is, the internal combustion engine has existed for more than 100 years. It's a very huge market, and nobody has, a lot of people have tried to better the internal combustion engine. We're not trying to better it. We're replacing the internal combustion engine. They are not competitive with each other. They're in a different planet. The mighty engine, the way it is, basically is the new internal combustion engine that should hopefully take us through the next 100 years or until we can find a replacement for fuel. So that's the beauty of the engine.
Yeah. And again, for those who are just joining us, this technology did receive an award by NASA Tech. It wasn't Tech Talks. It was
NASA Technical Brief.
Yeah, first
March.
Prize. That was quite incredible. 2006. Now, when we talk about multiple fuels, I would imagine that you're not going to be able to run different kinds of fuels in the same vehicle without making some adjustments and modifications. That basically you're going to engineer the one particular motor to run on one particular fuel, and then you could also take the basic design, but you need to have some certain modifications to allow a motor to burn gasoline, for example. But you're saying
that's the compression ignition engine design. It can run on a variety of fuel without any changes. For example, it can run on biofuel, it can run on vegetable oil, it can run on diesel. To run on natural gas, you need a little bit modification, but very little. To run on gasoline, that's a totally different engine because gasoline has a lower compression ratio compared to a compression ignition diesel engine. So basically, those are two different designs. But like I said, if you want the efficiency, nothing beats the compression ignition engine, which is the basic diesel engine. Hence, we prepare that. The gasoline engine is really quite easy to make because with the lower compression ratios, they don't have to be as strong as the diesel design. But I figure if we can do it with diesel, then it's easy to convert it in gasoline if we have to convert it in gasoline.
Now, you have a really interesting marketing strategy that I'd like to get into when we come back from the break at the bottom of the hour, where you've got some amazing things of how you're going to roll us out. Looking forward to talking about that.
Well, recently,
yes. We're going to go ahead and go to break first, and then we'll talk about that, okay?
They pretty much ignored us. And
sky. That's what witnesses are saying about a Black Hawk helicopter that crashed today onto the Texas A&M University campus. One person was killed. The search is on tonight for a pilot who is believed to have radioed a false distress call while flying a small plane to Florida.
He had initially called in saying he had an in-flight emergency and suffered windshield damage and was profusely bleeding. We located the wreckage. There was no blood found, and the windshield appeared to be intact.
Santa Rosa Sheriff Sergeant Scott Haynes believes the pilot parachuted from the plane and later checked into a hotel under a false name. Sources telling CNN Barack Obama does plan to close the military prison at Guantanamo Bay, and they say it could happen within his first week in office. Senate Democrats now say they will seat Illinois Senate hopeful Roland Burris. The disgraced Illinois governor's appointee will be sworn in later this week. This is CNN Radio.
Hi, everybody. Jim Howell for the KFNX Weather Center. Well, we're going to have gorgeous weather the rest of the week with our normal 67. We will be above that right on throughout the weekend. Mid-70s tomorrow and Wednesday. Bring it back a couple of degrees, but we're still 70 into the weekend. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently, in downtown Phoenix, it's 60 degrees.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
You love your family. You want what's best for their future. That's why having life insurance is so important. If something happens to you, what is going to happen to them? The great news is you don't have to spend a fortune to get excellent coverage. In fact, when you call Termco, they will go to work for you to give you a free quote to show you how much you can save. Gil Edwards with Termco Insurance Agency specializes in saving people money on top-rated term life insurance. Find out if you are paying too much or if you don't have enough. Ask about the new return and premium life insurance. This policy will return your entire premium back to you after 20 to 30 years tax-free guaranteed. Your family is protected either way. With Termco, you get the best coverage at the lowest possible rate, protection and savings. Call for a free, no-obligation quote. The call and quote are absolutely free. Call 800-918-7096. 800-918-7096. That's 800-918-7096. 800-918-7096.
Tune in to Hour of Power with me, Will David, and my co-host Jay Evans every Thursday night from 8 to 9 p.m. for your weekly sports fix right here on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
It's not about what's right and left. It's about what's right and wrong. CNN anchor and award-winning journalist Lou Dobbs is on the airwaves.
Mr. Independent.
The Lou Dobbs Show, weeknights at 10 on KFNX.
Gonna make a change in some lives today. We will work for not for profit. Grassroots movement says the words we say. We want to make the world a little bit better. We just want to help the world today.
Free energy now. Eagle Mountain, Utah.
We'll always take donations, that's for sure. Or some hardware.
Free Energy Now.
We really want to change the world today. We just want to help the world.
866-536-1100.
That's 866-536-1100. If you're listening live, you want to call in with some questions. We are talking to Rafael Morgado. He's the inventor of the massive yet tiny engine, also called the Mighty Engine. Huge displacement with little tiny engine gives 40 times higher power to weight ratio, has many advantages. This is the technology of the future, Rafael believes, and a lot of people think that he may be right. A lot of people, including NASA, who gave him an award in their tech briefs, Create the Future Design Contest in 2006. They've been in a couple of the SEMA show, LA Auto Show, and then they kind of went quiet for about a couple of years, and now they're coming back. Actually, this is the first we're hearing from them publicly, and right here on this show tonight. And we want to talk now about, this is kind of a big announcement time, where they're at in the process of rolling this thing out. Rafael.
Yes. Well, basically, we had opportunity to take capital money. However, most of the deals offered on the table has to do by owning 50% and control of the company, in which case I'm not willing to do because they want to shelf the invention. And so we decided that and realized that we can actually get capital money through orders. Ever since we left the International Auto Show in 06, there had been a lot of truck drivers, especially aviation, airplane owners, you name it, they want the engine, they want it now. And I pretty much ignored that at the time because we did not have any plans in going into production at that time. However, with the changes of time, I looked in, and with the available capital money, I looked into getting into production and realized that we could very easily do it. You know, I had done production before. That's why I didn't want the headache in the beginning. But with the capital money available and the market going this way, it's very basically the market needs something like the Mighty Engine. So we decided to go into production, realized that there's a lot of profit margin to be made over there, and it can be doable. So we're going to go ahead and do the production side. That's the easy part. However, originally we were anticipating that the car manufacturers would adopt this, and they have not. Therefore, we're going to target the used car market, which is between 200 to 250 million. Vehicles registered in DMV. So that's 1 to 5 years old. That would be full passenger cars, SUVs, pickup trucks, vans. And of course, that doesn't even include the 18-wheeler tractors that's basically driving back and forth the U.S. That's basically a big help on the economy, transferring goods 24 hours a day. The way what we want to do is that we want to open up retrofit shops in the 18,000 cities of the United States. And then it's been suggested, and we are looking into it, to do a franchise on the retrofit shops. And this is a very easy business to get into because all it entails is pulling an engine out, an existing engine in a vehicle, whether it's an SUV or a passenger car, putting our engine in it and charge a flat fee price, and then of course Angel Labs will franchise that. So we believe by doing that we can get anywhere between 2 and 3 million jobs in the U.S. alone, and we're very proud of that. And so,
within how much time?
We're trying to initiate it this year. However, since the patent that we own covers the old design, and the engine that we're going to introduce is slightly modified, which allows us for applying brand new patents worldwide. We have patent coverage worldwide, about 100 countries. So that is something that we are discussing with our patent attorneys right now in the hope that we can launch it. However, we still have to prep for production anyway. So even if we have to apply for new patents, we could still do it between, 1 or 2 years' time, because the pilot production setup and the machines that we need, since we only have 15 major parts to produce, is quite simple. And so we're $10 million away from pilot production setup, which basically can initiate everything, because basically we're going to start advertising, we're going to start putting the engines in cars, in airplanes, and then, of course, we can start taking orders from the military, which we already have between 10 and 15 years' worth. And then, of course, I have to make sure that the public gets the engine. So that's how we're going to round up the capital money. But like I said, we cannot do that legally until we have a pilot production set up.
Right, and you're talking about getting this pilot production plant established, and how much is that going to take?
That's going to require $10 million.
And where's that money going to come from? Is that something that
we are working with a number of businesses? We prefer to get that as a loan or investment for qualified investors, or we are willing to. We're looking for master franchisors to run the franchise end of things. We're willing to offer 10% in exchange for a loan, for a loan for $10 million. So we're hopeful that we're just around the corner and achieving that $10 million. So we do have a lot of bargaining chips. We are working with a number of people, different businesses, even different companies. So we're not far along. Now, $10 million is not an awful lot of money, especially when the government is bailing out everybody. It would be nice to be get a loan from the government, but I haven't gotten any calls from the government.
Now, in terms of this franchise idea, let's say I was setting up a franchise in my city. I would basically be paying, let's say, for example, $5,000 to franchise, and then I would have the ability to advertise locally that if you wanted one of these mighty engines in your car, drive on in. I would take out the old engine, replace it with this one-size-fits-all engine? Is that, I mean, basically
all the... there'll be different sizes of engines, but they are a little bit flexible because, for example, the 8-inch engine, 8-inch by 8-inch mighty engine that weighs 37 pounds, is 202 cubic inches, which is good for 200 to 400 horsepower. So that covers a pretty good area. But if you want more power, you go to the next level, which is 9-inch engine, which is a bigger displacement, 289 cubic inches, and that's good for 200 to 500 or even 600 horsepower. So like I said, we are just looking into the franchising. We know that the way to market this is to open retrofit shops, so that's pretty much a done deal, that part. But franchising, that's something that we're considering doing. That's why we're looking for a master franchisor to do that with us. But like I said, the decision has not been made solid for the franchising part. However, the retrofit shops, that's something that we're really seriously thinking, because we feel that the target market is bigger in the used car than the brand new cars. And besides, it doesn't seem like public is buying brand new cars to begin with anyway. If we offer a retrofit by the engine, all of a sudden what happens is their SUV has an overall performance and at the same time better fuel economy than a Toyota Prius. So basically, why not for a lot less money?
Turn the SUV, the engine chamber, into a trunk where you could store stuff because the engine is gone, basically.
That is partly
true. And you get the mileage of a Prius with more torque.
Well, we're giving a performance, high performance. You know, we're not sacrificing anything. We're giving the individual extra performance in his vehicle, not just from horsepower or torque, but from handling characteristics. From stopping power, from acceleration, because when you remove that much weight from a vehicle, the vehicle automatically performs a lot better, you know, from zigzag, from straightaways and acceleration, from braking distances. It's an automatic freebie that comes along when you take that much weight. So in other words, the United States can go on a big diet, you know. 5,000-6,000-pound SUV can lose between 1 to 1,500 pounds, even 2,000 pounds, depending on the uniqueness of what we're going to do to the vehicle.
Yeah, let's explore that a little bit more when we come back from break.
Will you be ready when gas prices go back up? Convert your vehicle to a hydrogen boost hybrid. Get 15 to 25% improved gas mileage guaranteed or your money back. And cleaner emissions. Hydrogen Boost has 8 years of experience in hydrogen injection and mileage enhancement and a money back satisfaction guarantee. Visit www.hydrogen-boost.com or call 518-480-4026. Hydrogen Boost, 518-480-4026 or visit hydrogen-boost.com.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction. But where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
The FBR Open is much more than a golf tournament. It's a people watcher's paradise. In fact, you could use a field guide to navigate the gallery from Fraternitan Maximus. Like migrating birds every year, they find their way from Tempe to the famous 16th hole to Antiquitas Nomobius. They arrive early, bring their own seat, and can be heard chirping down in front to Defendus Championus, a two-time tournament winner, a Ryder Cup hero, and a crusher of golf balls. The FBR Open, January 26th to February 1st, TPC Scottsdale. For tickets, visit FBROpen.com.
Free energy, now!
Sterling Allen coming back at you. I'm up here in Eagle Mountain, and I'm talking with Rafael Morgado of Massive Yet Tiny Engine. That is with Angel Labs LLC. They're in California. And they are making a major announcement this evening. They've been quiet for a couple of years, and I just happened to catch him at a good time. He's coming on the show and telling us for the first time some of their new plans about how they're going to roll this thing out. We talked about how they're ready to go into production. They are going to need about $10 million, and that is open for somebody who's the right person who comes along with that amount to build the production facility. And once they're in production, they will then take this and retrofit, basically provide it to retrofit shops in kind of a franchise type of arrangement where people could swap out the old engine from a used vehicle to this new Mighty Yet Tiny engine. It would have the same power and even better performance than the existing engine, yet it would be about the size of the alternator. Just an amazing technology. I just mentioned over the break that the patent office has said that this patent for their Mighty Yet Tiny engine is the most downloaded patent in their history. A lot of interest in this. If you Google Mighty Yet Tiny or Angel Labs engine, a lot of interest in this technology awarded by NASA, first prize in their Tech Briefs Award, Power of the Future or something like that. Anyway, we were talking about this rollout strategy and how you're going to introduce this technology to the marketplace rather than waiting for some fat cat to come along and implement this from the ground up. You've had a lot of those talks and didn't like how much control they wanted. You wanted to be sure that this technology made it to the market and wasn't shelved somewhere. You might be rich, but the world would be wouldn't be as good of a place as it would with this technology. So you wanted to make sure it got out there. You're now quite confident that this is the approach that's going to make it work.
That is correct. As I said, we had realized the simplicity of the Mighty Engine, having 15 major components, leads to a very easy way to produce it. And therefore, when we had the offer on the table of investment, I wanted to make sure that I'll be able to, some of the investment offers were in loans. I wanted to make sure I'll be able to pay it, so I was forced to sit down and do a budget projection for 3 years. Very quickly found out that it was very profitable and very easy to do. So therefore, with capital available, we decided to manufacture to go into production. And then later on, of course, unfortunately, most of the offers on the table, they want control of the company so they can shelf it. And so now I've always been followed by people to take their deposits so they can be first in line, mostly from truck drivers, aviation groups, hot rod groups. You know, that was the result of the exposure that we had obtained from the car show. So basically, we figured that we can get the capital money from the deposits, not just from the public, but also from the military. We are, the moment we have our pilot production set up and we built the first engines for the public or the military, the military will be first in line for testing those engines, and then orders will follow suit. And so basically the military actually has a bigger interest than even the public. So we figure that with capital money available and the engine fully developed, then this is the right timing to introduce it in the market.
Now, when you talk about being ready to go into production, I presume that this improved motor that you're talking about that you've been working on for the last couple of years is something you would consider to be a production prototype?
Actually, when we go into production, when I say we're setting up pilot production, the pilot production just basically pertains to the production model. We ourselves built the engine, so we know how to produce the engine. None of the engine was made or farmed out. Everything in the engine, when we were building the engine initially, we didn't have the patent protection yet, so we work in the stealth mode. We were on a 5-acre ranch in Lodi, California, where we built it, and so we stayed on stealth mode. So we manufactured everything in-house, so we know how to manufacture it. So basically, we are just the pilot production line will be initially to build engines for putting it on cars, airplanes, and satisfying the needs for military so they can put in their orders. However, the engine itself is ready for production, but we do have to set up for production. Normally with cars, it takes anywhere between 1 to 2 years to set up for production of any kind. With our case, it could be 6 months to as much as a year, basically because we only have 15 parts.
That's not nearly as complex. You don't have valves, you don't have...
That is correct.
Now, one thing that I've heard bantered about when people are talking about this technology is the downside is that you've only tested on air, but I've been corrected in that you were running this thing for 6 months before you ran it on an air compressor. You were running it on fuels.
Yeah, that is correct. You have to realize that in 2001, when we first got the first million investment to build this engine, we only built the first prototype at the end of the first year. At that time, you ran out of we spend the $1 million, and we only have one prototype at that time. For 6 months, off and on, we were running on diesel fuel and biofuel, B20, and even 100% soybean fuel. So therefore, when we started breaking parts in the early development, we very quickly realized that if this engine blows up as a result of testing, we would have a hard time raising any more money because we don't have anything to show. The idea of building the first prototype was to show that the technology is for real. So we decided to run it on air, and to our surprise, the development became quite faster and easier because when you break apart under air pressure, it does not take everything else with it. So you know which broke. You can replace that. We had the machine. We did the modifications. But at the same time, so for the first 6 months, it run basically on diesel, biofuel, B20, B100, soybean, before we got into air testing to basically make sure that we had an engine for presentation. That's basically what happened while we were running on air. But since we did not take any videos, we really don't talk about it. We figure if somebody knows about engine, the engine really is normally just an air pump, you know. So if you can pump air, compress it, and exhaust it, all you have to do is add fuel, and it's an internal combustion engine. After all, the internal combustion engine is an air pump. And so basically, but when people have a hard time with that because they say you still have to deal with temperature and whatnot, we agree. However, in the case of the design of the Mighty engine, it has different characteristics in combustion behavior, which we capitalize on, you know. And so in any other standard engine, temperature might be a problem, but not on the basic design of the Mighty engine.
Now, when you talk about an air engine, there are a number of companies that are actually developing pneumatic engines that are specifically designed to run on compressed air. So you would have a compressed air tank on board that would give you maybe 60 miles range. How would your motor compare to, your engine compare to one of these other pneumatic engines that are out there?
Actually, we've been approached by a steam locomotive people who's trying to make a comeback in doing steam. And their biggest drawback is the efficiency on the expander, and they see the Mighty engine as the most efficient expander they ever saw. So they want to use it for steam. People with from natural resources, from what do you call geothermal, wants to use this as an air pump to harness the power of geothermal. People in the hydro electric business wants to use this as an engine to capture the movement of the water. So as a pump, it's even more efficient than the internal combustion engine for the simple fact that a pump has three characteristics: volume, flow, and pressure. Now, those three cannot be combined or produced by one apparatus. Normally, if you want volume and flow, you go with a centrifugal pump. If you want pressure, you go with a piston pump. If you want to combine those three, you can do it in three or four or five different stages with the centrifugal, very complex. The Mighty engine, to our knowledge, is the only existing apparatus on Earth that have those three characteristics: volume, flow, and pressure. Therefore, it'd be very efficient as used as a pump.
Well, this is a fascinating story. I really appreciate you coming on and telling us about it. And we certainly wish you the best as you roll this thing out. Again, tell us the name of your website.
The name of our website is angellabsllc.com or Angel Labs Engines. Or I believe that if you Google MYT Engine, it will take you there too. Or in some cases, even my name, Rafael R.G. Morgado. But basically, angellabsllc.com is our home website. There are other 50 websites opened on our behalf under Angel Labs Engines.
So what's going to happen in the next 18 months? Where's Angel Labs going to go?
We are headed to Nevada. We are a Nevada company, LLC. We just have permission to do business in California. However, we are an LLC based on, we will be doing the pilot production line set up in Nevada.
And you see this company being able to help recover the United States and the world from its economic downturn and its dependence on fossil fuels.
That's what we're hoping for.
All right.
I believe that in 2020, they want to move CAFE ruling to 40 miles per gallon. If they do that, they will save 1 billion barrels of...
Brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net and join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information
Network. You're listening to KFNX 1100, Cave Creek, Phoenix, a division of Premier Radio Stations, LLC.